All right, greetings, Dr. Hirschfeld from Hirschfeld Derma Clinic. Today, I'm graced by the presence of two of my colleagues, and they will introduce themselves, who are bringing internationals to Botswana for hair transplant surgery. Today, we had our first forehead reduction, but before we get to that, I'll allow them to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Dr. Natasha Sandy, and I'm coming from the United States with expertise in skin, hair, and anti-aging rejuvenation.
Dr. Peter Sugo here, the Afrodoc from Kenya, come with expertise in hair transplant.
So guys, first hair transplant, but not first hair transplant, but rather first forehead reduction. But of course we had some hair correction because she had alopecia, traction alopecia as well. So what's our feel, what's our take? We did well in terms of time because we worked as a team, and my, what a strong team it was, yeah?
Yes.
So guys, thoughts for today?
What do you think, Dada?
Well, I think this was a challenging case in some ways.
Totally.
Well, actually, numerous ways. And there were some unique instances that why Afro hair in particular and doing transplants in Afro hair actually showed up in this particular case, don't you think?
Yeah.
It showed up in a couple of ways. One of the things is definitely considering how to map and create the hairline and being conscious of the nuances of one of the female ethnicity, and actually even considering ethnicities within one ethnic group.
Yeah.
Right? And not just formulating a cookie cutter sort of like approach and focusing purely, symmetry is significant and important, but not focusing on the symmetry of your hands necessarily, but looking at the nuances of the patient and prominence in one part of the face versus the other.
Absolutely, because we had some anatomical variations even within that same client.
Yeah.
And so we had to make adjustments. We actually spent one whole hour mapping the hairline, and this was very crucial because if you get that wrong, then the entire look is going to be wrong.
So as you see in this particular case, we had forehead reduction and then hair loss. So you know, designing this kind of a hairline require the artistic version. That's why we are all do it. We designed that hairline for an hour for us to get the artistic look, because there was hair loss which was caused by the traction, and there was a forehead reduction. And designing a hairline in a female, it has to look very, very natural. Not in female alone, but it has to look natural in both aspects of designing a hair. So it starts with the art aspect part of it.
Yeah.
So designing took us time, but then again, we got it right, as you'll see in the pictures we'll share. We did magic. So we are these three doctors.
So doc, we speak of a forehead reduction, but not everybody understands what a forehead reduction means.
Yeah.
So can you explain what a forehead reduction is?
So basically, forehead reduction is if you are born with a big forehead, and you, this is the frontal man. No, you. So you want to reduce.
It's okay, that's really authentic, it's authentic, you're born with a big forehead, you don't like forehead is big,
you want to reduce it, so we reduce with hair, you just lower the hairline a bit, so we go through hair transplant to achieve the forehead reduction.
It's an illusion, so,
it's an illusion.
So you might have not lost hair, but then you want, your forehead is big, so we reduce it with the hair. Right. So that's why it has to look natural.
Yeah.
Right. So there are a couple of ways. Some people will, and we even say forehead reductions. For some people, they have prominence, right? So that it's prominent. And so it
the
looks
bone
like,
is
like
quite...
the prominent. It's like, a, you know, square, right? Yeah. And then some people, it's just larger, not decimated. They may not have a prominence, but it just seems to be further back.
Yeah.
And in some instances, you hear people getting forehead reduction, and people automatically think you're going to, you know, take some of the skin and actually pull that reduction. But in this case,
I've had patients that actually
had that.
That's
done.
An extreme.
Yes, And sometimes they may not have needed to have that done actually.
Exactly.
Right. But with the you can also reduce the visually the appearance of the forehead by using hair. hair transplant and bringing the hairline lower. That's what we've done today. Right? And in those, I think that what's the important thing is the nuances of how to do that and not to get on the muscle. Because how far down you can come is not just how far a person wants. It's the right placement of the hair.
Exactly.
The landmarks.
The landmarks.
Facial structure.
Yeah.
And then the ethnic variations. These are things we have really to consider. Yes.
And so that's one, that's just one, because she had that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was she actually had the hair loss. So you're really, you do manage them. You do manage them both with hair transplants, but the reduction, in a sense, is more aesthetic, right?
Totally.
But with the, if you're doing alopecia, depending what type of alopecia it is both aesthetic, but you also have to be consider any inflammatory process that may occur, and the presence and absence of follicles. Because if it's a traction and there's significant scarring, then you would have to manage that slightly differently too.
Totally. So, again, this brings light to, we speak about Afro hair transplant, and with that, we mentioned challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And today, yes, you spoke about the hairline. That was a challenge. It was very tricky.
Yeah.
And secondly, for me, my greatest challenge today was the harvesting stage, because I found that, you know, every patient is unique. As Dr. Peter Asugo always says, you know, the follicles will really surprise you. And with African hair, as curly as it is up here, as curly as it is down there. So it's very easy to damage the follicle when harvesting. And getting it right, like, these follicles were in varying directions. And I found it so difficult.
Can I just point something out, just in terms of in case the audience doesn't know?
Yeah.
What harvesting is, because when people use the term harvesting is really, there are hair follicles in another part. There are hair, your hair, there's full hair in another part of the scalp, usually the back.
Mm.
And when you're harvesting, you're really just trying to get, harvesting means you're taking that hair follicle, right? That's each individual hair follicle that's in the back, and you're moving to the front. But the harvesting is the part where you take something like a cookie cutter, right? Yeah. And basically punch out that follicle in preparation to bring it to the front.
Where there's no hair.
Where there's no hair.
Yeah.
So afro is very, very complex. As Eugene was trying to say, the hair curls. And these curls can be 15 degrees, 30 degrees to the skin, 20 degrees, 45 degrees to the skin. So you really, really have to understand how this hair curls down there. So that's why afro hair is different with all other kinds of hair. All Caucasian hair, Indian, all the rest of hair straight, but the afro hair, it's magical because it curls into the skin.
Yeah,
I think afro hair that has curls. The interesting part, I think, is that even within the group of those of us that have curly hair, even the curl. Yeah. And the shape of the curl varies. When we say it's unique, right, that's the uniqueness. It's
the
not difficult, like the magic of curly hair, right? And the reason why it's been complex because people don't understand.
Yes.
But now we understand our hair. There is some expertise.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And in order to be able to harvest them.
I think those
that have spent many years and expertise developing,
it comes, right? Yeah. I think it's learning how to, as we say, technique.
Technique, right.
You know, learning to follow the direction of the hair, because the direction somewhat tells you
direction
about the curvature.
And angulation.
Right.
Will give us the naturality.
So what does that mean? When we say like angulation and curvature,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Angulation is how, you remember when you talk about angles in mathematics, you bring it to hair now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you talk about placing grafts 15 degrees to the skin,
mm-hmm.
30 degrees to the skin, it's angles you're placing this hair. Because the hair tend to slip in its belly. There's no way you're going to plant this hair facing up or 90 degrees to the skin. It has to be acute. So we talk of 30 degrees to the skin.
Yeah.
So that's what it means, angles. So there's no way we're going to plant afro hair from 45 degrees, 60 degrees. No. It is 30 degrees below. So it's acute all the way. That's what makes angulation from the word angles. Then directionality comes with direction. How are you gonna place this head? What direction? It has to, that's what brings the naturality aspect part of hair transplant.
So the beauty of this with hair, with curly hair, right? Afro hair, curly hair. It outside it's doing one thing, right? So it's outside it's curling many different ways. We know we can curl very, for those of, from type one, type four, type three, type right, A, B, C. Outside it can be do one thing, but as it's going in, it's doing something else.
Yeah.
And it's understanding that it might go like this and it's going this way. So when you wanna implant it, do you wanna implant it? You wanna implant it so it formulates and follows that same pattern,
natural pattern.
So you don't accidentally, or incorrect, not accidentally, you don't plant it and the hair is going this way. A couple of well-known people have had hairlines done in other places where their hairline looks like that, okay, in the front, which isn't natural. Or do you want the hairline to follow the natural pattern of the curls?
Yeah. Right?
And those are the things that, if you pay careful attention to when you see well-known celebrities and things that have got a hair transplant, you can kind of see the error in the ways of the implanting of regions that aren't really truly understanding afro hair or curly hair.
Magical afro hair.
Magical
hair. Afro hair. And look, to close it, I always say, your afro hair, your crown and glory. I feel and I encourage, and I think that this is a message, and maybe one of the next talks we should have is encouraging naturality, especially in children, because I think a lot of parents don't understand, and I feel very strongly about this, because prevention is better than cure. And it pains me to see kids that are braided from a very young age, and already by the time the child is 6-7 years old, they have traction alopecia.
Right.
And I feel like we have to raise this point of awareness big time.
So I think it's significant, and many people may argue, well, what are you trying to say, because it's part of our culture. And it's really the variation, right? It's also the variation as well, right? So you don't have to, it's braiding it very tightly.
Yeah.
Assuming that tighter means it's gonna last longer. If the hair grows, it's not gonna last.
No.
And also varying, sometimes you don't braid the hair, just leave the hair. You don't have to braid it every day.
Yeah.
Give the hair some time as you recover.
Right? Yeah.
The old people say, let it breathe, but it's really just give it time, get the follicles to recover. And you see that in children. That's great. Then you also see it in adults.
Yes.
Right? With braids, with ponytails,
even ponytails.
And we see it in all ethnicities, actually.
Yeah.
Right? I see it in a lot of my in my Caucasian Latinos, Afro Latinos as well, but even our Caucasian Latinos, the weaves rubbing against
the weaves themselves. People think
these
don't. They're like, no, I don't plait my hair. I wear weave, but there's that friction force.
Yep.
Friction force also
is
a form of alopecia, if you like. And yes, you're right. Point of correction is that go for tension-free hairstyles.
Yeah,
and you know, be careful with heat treatments, be careful with chemical treatments, especially relaxers, you know, the chemical, the pH, the chemical composition. I know my professor was doing a study and they found that some of these are actually very harsh on the skin.
Yeah.
And we tell the patient,
and carcinogenic
at times,
and
we go to the salon and say, tell us when you start burning.
Yeah.
And the mere fact that we say, when you start burning,
there's
something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
It means you have a chemical burn.
And the chronicity of chronic, continual burning and damage to the scalp is going to cause scar tissue and will in turn damage the hair follicles.
Yeah.
So it's just really, I think, just realize how delicate. Delicate the scalp and the hair is.
Yeah.
Now, some of the things in terms of like male pattern hair loss and female pattern hair loss, it's arguably not preventative, but that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole
nother conversation. Hormone optimization may help that beforehand, but that necessarily can't be prevented necessarily. But if you consider getting hair transplants sooner, that may make us have less tough job. But
you must have lost the
yard. Yeah, but yeah.
considerable amount. Months, like, yes, you're ready with 20% and be there for you to achieve.
But there are also alternatives to before you get to the transplant.
Yes.
But we're talking about patients that maybe, you know, there's many hair loss, not just the issue of retention. The issue is really the problem is that the hair is not getting, they're not getting any growth from the scalp, the absence of follicles, scattered follicles. Yeah. That's where hair transplant comes in.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to talk about. Yeah. And, you know, this field of sphere of dermatology encompasses hair, skin, and nails. And this is where we say it is magical. And not all alopecias are the same. We take a different approach in treatment for each type of alopecia.
Very true.
Yeah. So I think, guys, maybe, I don't know how we can do this, but I think we need to educate the nation. Yeah. And, you know, we're internationals as we are internationals, and I think we have to bridge the gap between ourselves and our clients.
Yeah.
It's
true. And it's not, it's fine. It's okay to come and get your hair transplant.
Yeah.
The other fun part is, and I know you guys say it, we all went into the field of medicine, period, just to contribute to people and see people feel happy. But the fun part is you fix something for someone and how it boosts people's confidence.
Yeah.
That even they may not have realized how much it impacted them.
Yes.
And you see them pursuing things in their lives that they didn't feel bold enough to do, or simply just getting up in the morning and moving freely and not having to play around with things and try and disguise, or just the ease of jumping up.
Yeah, in simple terms, you don't just restore hair, we restore confidence.
Mm-hmm. Confidence.
Yeah, so we give you back the confidence through hair restoration.
Yeah.
That's why we sit three down and...
Even the confidence you didn't think you lost.
You lost, yeah.
Like you see them, you see it. Yeah.
You don't realize the impact until you get that thing back.
Until you get that thing
back.
Yeah.
So...
It's fun.
It says, you know this thing where they say, skin deep, excellence, or skin deep confidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's also
hair
deep confidence.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Sure. Cool. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for flying hours and hours and hours. The lady from the USA.
By way of Trinidad and Grenada.
By way of Trinidad and
Grenada and England.
And England before coming here. So honored for her to be with us today.
Thank you.
And Dr. Asugo. Always a pleasure.
Oh, from thank Kenya. You so much.
From Kenya. Mm. Yeah, no.
We performed magic.
We'll perform magic. Say it.
Magic. In the motherland.
In the motherland.
Right in Botswana.
Right in Botswana.